you've got to be kidding. I get to be in this show. Like, I'm in the Spice Girls. It's crazy. It's so awesome.
Oh my gosh. The hard-hitting questions.
I was like one woman, and then I put that ponytail on, and I became a different woman.
The power that I hold to, like, affirm all these girls who look like me in these audiences is really, really special.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we are so excited because we have two very special guests from the musical Six. You will be hearing from Julia Pulo first, who plays Anne Boleyn in the current Canadian production of Six right here in Toronto. And then right after her, you'll hear from Julia McClellan, who is a standby slayer, also in the Canadian production of Six here in Toronto.
We had an amazing time talking to both of them, like really good conversations about Six, about theater in Toronto, skincare, makeup. So whatever you are ready for, you're going to get it with these two interviews with Julia Squared.
Yes, and Six is currently on stage in Toronto at the Royal Alex Theater. So go get your tickets to Six and please enjoy this episode. Julia, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We are huge Six fans, if you cannot tell by Steph's opening night crown. Obviously, you're wearing the merch. Steph, please tell Julia how many times we've seen Six now.
Wow, total over our lifetime, I guess we've each seen Six 5 times. And we're hoping to make it to the Six Timers Club very soon.
Yes.
Six times for Six.
But before we talk about Six, we always start our interviews off by asking our guests, what is your first memory of theater?
First memory of theater. Easy peasy. My first memory of theater is I had to be 2 or 3 or something. And every Sunday we go to my grandfather's house. We just go to my grandpa's every Sunday. My grandma would cook food. And then after we ate, he put on a musical movie because that was his favorite things. He loved old 50s, 60s movies. And that was a way for us to connect. Especially since he didn't speak English as a first language. It was a really nice way for us to we'd sing together or we'd watch the scenes over and over. We'd watch Sound of Music and West Side Story. And, my favorite musical for a really long time was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is really...
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah, don't think about that too much. But, the music actually... we still sing the songs together to this day. That is my first memory of music theater. And I've just always associated musicals with, happiness and connection and joy. Yeah.
It's interesting, you say your grandfather, English wasn't his first language, that musicals can kind of bridge that gap oftentimes. You're not necessarily, they're communicating, but your grasp of the English language is not as important because the emotions are being felt no matter what through the music, through the movement. And I think that's a really beautiful way that you were able to connect over those.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's crazy with Six too. I know so many of my friends who immigrated to Canada or their parents immigrated to Canada, and they bring them to the show and they're kind of nervous that they won't catch the whole story, especially since it goes so fast. And then they just have this moment with them. Everybody I know who's brought their parents and stuff, they're they got it. They got it and they had a good time. I'm so happy I brought them. I'm like, oh, that's so special. That's one of the biggest reasons why I love music theater so much.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go back to the beginning, talking about Six. When did you first hear about this show?
I think COVID. I think it was COVID. I was out of the Hamilton era. And
I see a little Hamilton book on your back.
My bookshelf. My bookshelf is literally my prized possession. My grandpa actually built it. And then my top shelf is all musical theater. I'm a nerd. Love Hamilton so much. I was coming out of the Hamilton era, and TikTok, Andrea's version of Don't Lose Your Head on TikTok was huge on during COVID. Like, I was sending memes, me and my sister were sharing memes to each other, and that's how I kind of got introduced to the show. Yeah.
And then we were so excited when Mirvish announced that an all-Canadian production of Six was coming to Toronto. Do you remember where you were? And can you tell us maybe a little bit about the audition process?
Yes. I don't remember exactly where,
You were. Let's say, like, how did you hear about it?
Oh, okay. I'm like, meantime.
I was on this date.
Like, it was September 21st.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I heard about it from my agent because I auditioned for Six the year before for the Broadway replacements for Anne Boleyn. Mm-hmm, I got a call back, and I got a second call back. I was like, but I did. I got cut after that. But
Anne Boleyn was like always your queen.
Yes, she's always been my girl. I have so much audition anxiety, but with Anne Boleyn, like, I just had a really specific way I wanted to play her in my head, and so I was like really committed and excited to like wanting to explore that specific character. I was like really like in for it. I'm like, yeah, I want to be seen for Anne Boleyn. So I did the Broadway callbacks, which was awesome. My agent was like, it'll come to Toronto. Like, girl, it'll come to Toronto. Like, I'll let you know. I'm like, okay. So a year passes, and then there's like rumors, whatever. And he's like, okay, the auditions are in. Like, you have a chance at this girl. Like, let's get this. I'm like, period. So I did an online audition, and you're supposed to pick two queens, one or two queens. So I did Boleyn and Parr, and I did this song cut for both, and then Parr has a monologue cut. So I did those.
Mm. So it's songs from the show they have you sing?
Only songs from the show.
Okay.
In the videotape. And then in person, I got a callback. And then after that in-person callback, there was finals, which was spanned 4 days. And usually people were picked like for 2 days of finals, like the beginning or the end, or just they went straight to finals or whatever. And I was called every single day of finals to do like something different every day. Yeah, it was crazy. I was literally like losing my mind because I didn't expect to. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't told that would be the case. So I'd like go, I'd like be so nervous, whatever, work myself up, be like, okay, whatever happens, like I got a call back. This is awesome. Whatever. I'm just going to have fun. I went in and I do the same cut of Don't Lose Your Head. They give me like a redirect. And then, I did like a pop song, which they called me in for three queens at this point. I was called for Parr, Boleyn, and Howard. And I was told that I wouldn't like need to do a pop song if I'm called with for more than two queens. And then they're like, so where's your pop cut? And I was like, okay. And I just randomly, like literally, thank God, I found just a random sheet music of Tattooed Heart by Ariana Grande, like actually amazing. Was not prepared. And I sang that, didn't know the words. I was like, like, and they're like, okay. Literally. And then I'd be on the train home. I'd be like, God, I bombed that. It's over. And then I get a text, be like, can you come in tomorrow? I'm like, yes. And did that for 4 days. And then I didn't hear back for 3 weeks. I was like, what is happening? Because it all happened so fast. Yeah. And then, so this was like in April. And then in May, I got the call that I was principal Anne Boleyn.
It's so interesting to hear this story and also to feel like hear that you first did this in your home, because seeing your Boleyn multiple times now, it is one of the most unique versions. We've both been lucky to see Andrea Macassette. We saw her pre-Broadway and I saw her on Broadway, and we love her take. She brought in that like Demi Lovato, not sorry moment. And we were hoping that you kept it, which you did. But just to think about your specific characterization, like, was there an inspiration for you? Like, where did you pull that? Mostly I'm like talking about like the acting moments. Like, where did you pull that comedy from?
Yeah. You know, my queenspiration, I took a lot from like Doja Cat. I just think she's like really weird and like awesome, and she doesn't care. She literally is a definition of like not caring what people say. Mm-hmm. Like, her brand right now is like my haters. like she loves her haters, or like I think that's so Boleyn. And I also think just like doing whatever you want and like doing all these weird offbeat things is just so Bobo. So I took a lot from like her and like her confidence and her offbeatness. And my comedy, I think I wanted to make it more like Gen Z, like things I just find funny. And I was like, what would my Anne Boleyn do different, I guess? So my comedy comes from like just kind of what I find funny, and like I wanted to find moments that were different. And so it developed over time for sure. A lot of it's like also influenced by what the other girls give me every night. And like, we play off each other so much, and what the audience gives too, that like helps so much. But yeah, those are like my biggest influences, I would say.
I just remember opening night, because again, we had listened to that cast recording a million times, the UK one, the Broadway one that came out, and then seeing you, we were like, this is so different and so good. So you're doing an amazing
job. And so funny.
I'm so, so excited. Surprising. Like when we come and we see that you're in that night, like it's just like everyone talks about you. Everybody I know that's seen this show is like, Boleyn, she's so good. She's so good in this show. So you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
We really love your interpretation.
That means so much. Thank you.
How much historical research did you do on Anne Boleyn? Like, how did you decide, or how much did you get to know her as a queen to decide like what your take should be?
You know what? I really thought there would be so much more research involved in this process. Like, I was ready to go deep diving. But we talked to Toby and Lucy during rehearsals, and they were like, this show, like, it's history, yeah, but it's like not about history. Like, we're not coming to tell an accurate story of the historical lives of these queens. Obviously we did like some background research. We watched like a PBS documentary that was like, it was actually really funny and like informative. And we read a book, King Henry VIII by Antonia Fraser. There's like a chapter for each queen. So I like read my chapter, and we also watched a Beyonce live at Rosedale or Rose Hall, something concert to get the vibe, to get like the queen vibe to, for all of us to like understand what we're trying to give.
Like, get, because you guys have never been like pop stars, you know, commanding the stage.
I mean, unless you have, and we don't know about
that.
Right. I'm like, last time I checked, no, I haven't. So,
because it is not really a traditional musical in that way. The performance style is so different.
No, I tell everybody that comes, I'm like, it's a concert. Like, it's a concert. Like, you can like yell and you can scream, you can sing along and like dance. Like, it's a, if you come expecting a traditional sit down show, it just doesn't, it doesn't hit as hard. It's not doing what it's supposed to do.
I mean, speaking of that, like, we were most recently there on Galentine's Day, and obviously that was like a special circumstance. A lot of like people were like raring to go in there, but I also feel that that's kind of the case for Six on a nightly basis. You're quite young, and to think that you are kind of having these like post-show meet and greets, like, what is like, the Queendom is a serious fan base, so like, what does that feel like for you? What does that mean to you after a performance to like meet and greet your fans?
It's crazy to have fans, like, what I mean, like, I literally go outside, I'm like, you're here for me, that's weird, that's crazy. Like, but it's such a privilege for all these people to like create a line to take a picture with you and to want to meet you because they appreciate your work that much. Yeah, it's like, it's unfathomable. Like, I can't even say it's a dream come true, because it's never something that I expected for myself. And I'm it does make me anxious. Like, I'm like, oh god, like, I hope you're meeting, this meeting is like what you want it to be, and like, I hope I'm like giving you the best that you can get out of this experience. Like, when I was growing up and going to see shows, I didn't know about stage door or like meet and greets, and I like know I would have like literally like fangirled so hard. Like, I am such a fangirl too. It's like overwhelming how, and like sometimes like I do get like imposter syndrome about it. But it's just such a beautiful, crazy experience. Yeah. Galentine's was so many people. And it's great. Everyone's so nice. Like everybody always says nice things. And like, I've connected with so many people. So yeah, it's just a really special experience, that I wasn't really prepared for, I guess, or anticipating that. Like I knew there was a fan base, but I wasn't anticipating like this much engagement and like fan art and like signing of things. I'm like, whoa, really? Me? Like,
okay. My signature was not prepared for
this. Yeah, no, I'm like, I gotta get this down. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's not typical for a Toronto show to have this kind of fan base, to have this kind of people coming to the show multiple times, all the time, over and over and over again. And that's definitely an extension of, let's say, like the worldwide Six fan base. But, you know, we were there. That was my fourth time seeing it in Toronto on Galentine's. And there was an elderly couple kind of in the row in front of us. And the husband kept going around to people like, how many times have you seen the show? How many times have you seen the show? And he's like, people keep coming back. Like everyone there was, and he was like, I loved it. And I'm like, well, how many times are you coming back now? And it just to foster that kind of community from the show is atypical, I think, in a Toronto show in general, but atypical kind of generally in shows. Not all shows create that kind of community and fan base and fandom, especially in like, well, not female fans are kind of the bread and butter of musical theater, but this show specifically has so much like female fans who are just like ready to go to bat for it at all times.
Yes.
Yeah, but then also cool. Speaking of those audiences in general, like, do you have a standout audience moment from the show? Is there anything that like has happened or someone has like interacted in some way with you guys? Like, is there anything that stands out?
There's so many like beautiful, like touching moments. I'm like the one that comes to my mind is my friend from Sheridan brought a bunch of like the kids that she's working with to Six.
I feel like that would have been so exciting.
It was crazy. And it was at stage door, and so it was like just an alleyway filled with like kids. And this one girl came up to me like crying, thanking me for just like being on stage because she's never seen someone who looks like her and talks like her before. Wow. And she's never in a role like this. Gosh. Like so impactful. Like I started crying and I'm like, oh my God, hugging and cry. It was just, it's so special. Yeah. And, I felt the same growing up. Like a lot of the people, I looked up to or tried to find in media and in shows were people that looked like me. And growing up, like I was told by teachers and stuff, like the only roles a book is Maria and West Side Story. So like, I tried to learn Spanish and like I practiced opera. I'm not even kidding. Like that was like my trajectory and now I'm here. So like,
yeah,
it's really, this show is so life-changing for me in so many reasons, like showing me all the things I can do with myself. And that the boxes are changing and the industry is changing in that way. And I just, the power that I hold to like affirm all these girls who look like me in these audiences is really, really special. Yeah. Makes me want to cry.
I mean, Six has always, you know, these are characters, they're real people, obviously, who were, as far as we know, white, and to cast oftentimes women of color in so many of these roles, and to also kind of give them personas based on famous women of color that we know, I think says so much about that time, but also maybe about the time that we're living in right now. And it's always been so exciting to see this like campaign for diversity in Six, and to have a focus on that. And I love that that's something that's meant so much to you as well, performing in this show.
Yeah, I wish everything was casted like this, honestly. I really do. It's just so, it's beautiful.
It's kind of like Hamilton, I feel like, opened the door for a lot of this. And hopefully we continue on this journey, because like it's so great, as you were saying, like, no, Maria and West Side Story is not the only part that you can play, you know? Like you can branch out and be one of Henry VIII's ex-wives, you know. It's very exciting. But speaking of those queens, you said that you went in for like three at one point. Is there anybody while you're watching the show that you get jealous of every night?
Oh my gosh, the hard-hitting questions. I love No Way. Me and Ellie talk about it all the time. I love that song so much. Also, watching now, having done the show over 200 times, I think, since Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. I would love to do Get Down once.
Yes. One time. So good.
One night. Everyone swaps.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, we should have a switch up. Me and Ellie are always like, oh, we should just like switch costumes one night.
I feel like maybe just do it and see what happens. I'm kidding, don't do that.
Put that wig on and just come out.
Yeah.
That's so funny. We want to hear about the makeup because we've seen the makeup tutorial. We are like, you know, from the stage, it looks amazing. Up close, we're like, whoa.
Same.
You know, what's doing the makeup like? And we also want to know what the skincare routine to keep, you know, it glowing after all this makeup.
Is it an oil-based cleanser? Like, how do you keep your skin fresh after wearing pounds of makeup every day?
This is the true hard-hitting question.
This is literally like, these are the questions that people want to
know. We want to know.
The makeup. So we did get so before this contract, guys, I did not know how to do eyeliner. So it was a big
eyeliner is so good.
A journey for you.
It's been a journey. Like, it's been a journey. We did get a makeup trial at the beginning before rehearsals even started.
Wow.
I remember getting cast. I'm like, oh God, like, I don't know how to do makeup. I don't know.
Because not to interrupt, but a lot of people don't know that for the most part, performers, you guys are all doing your own makeup before the show goes on. They're not makeup artists there to do everyone's makeup. Most performers are doing their own makeup before
exactly.
They go on
the show. Exactly. We have a WAM department, wigs, hair, and makeup. But they just kind of like monitor, or if we need help, just like your eyeline, your eye crease could be higher because your eyelids are different than this girl. So like try to make the tape this way instead of this way. Like, but we do our makeup ourselves. I mean, I didn't know this, but most shows get sponsored by a makeup company. So It's like, we're sponsored by MAC. So we do get like MAC products for free, which is very nice. So our eye stuff is all MAC. But yeah, we do. So we had a makeup trial where we learned like basically like the routine of things and what we had to do and what we had to put on. And we also like tested shades. For me, we tested like red lipsticks because my skin is like a little bit darker. Red is sometimes hard to like get properly because it could look clowny, especially with like green eyes, like it's giving Joker. So like we had to find the right combination. Exactly. They're like, it's giving Christmas elf. So like I tried a few lipsticks and now I combine three different lipstick colors to like get the shade.
What are the shades? Do you know off the top of your head? Yeah. If you don't know, it's okay.
Well, I use MAC Chestnut for the lip liner, which is brown. And then I use Diva for the face lip. And then I use Feels So Grand Matte Liquid Lip on the inside. And then I smoosh it together. And then sometimes if it needs to be a little bit more punchy, I do Fashion Legacy a little bit on top.
Everyone just like putting in their back orders right now.
It's a good color. Honestly, I was scared of red lipstick before this contract too. So like, happy to get over that. But yeah, I do my makeup every day. I've gotten it down to an hour now, which is very, it's an accomplishment for me. Yes.
Yeah.
Tape really helps with learning how to do eyeliner. And then the taking off process, I use like, we all use there's like an oil, I use one from Elf, but it's like the oil cleanser thing. So we don't like wipe it off.
Like the cleansing balm?
Yeah, we use the balm.
We look crazy for a little bit.
Yes. We use the balm. We wash it off. And then we all kind of – actually, Jazz used to be a skincare influencer YouTuber. So she like put me on a couple things. Yeah, I know.
So many talents. So many lives lived.
She did hair and skincare for like years.
Oh, wow.
So like she put me on this like retinol stuff and I use Hydro Boost, and I'll wash my face. So I'll wash my face and then I'll do the moisturizer. I have like a really sensitive skin, so I have to use a lot of moisturizer. That's my routine.
These are the things we notice as multiple viewers of Six. The last time we saw it, I was like, gotta ask about the skincare routine. Like, I really need to know how you get that makeup up.
I know.
And then I also see like the little peaks of your nails. So do you guys have like nail inspiration too? Your green nails? Love it.
Yes. These are my new, these are my new set. Thank you. I did them on Nails on Young. They do design really good.
Shut up.
But yeah, we have a nail palette that we all have to stick to. So like for me, it's green, black, and silver. For the other girls, it's their color, black and silver. Except for Jazz, it's gold. And the swings all have silver and black nails.
Oh, wow. But otherwise, you can do whatever you want.
We can do whatever we want within that color palette. We have a nail budget. So it's like part of costume. Yeah. So that's my little hand.
That's exciting.
Well, yes. I also never had nails before this contract. So I'm like literally becoming a woman. Like, because
I'm doing it up because I can.
I don't know
if green is always the moment, but a lot
Exactly. Sometimes I need to switch it up. Like the last one I did, I just had like sparkle nails. But I wanted like a green, pop of green. Yeah, and these actually glow during House of Holbein.
We're going to watch out for this.
These are really, this is really like,
this is what the people want to know.
I care about the makeup.
Like, you have a nail budget?
Yes. So fun. Well, before we wrap this up, Julia, we do have a little bit of a rapid fire for you. First question, on a road trip, what cast recording are you listening to?
Right now, probably Mean Girls. I watched the movie.
Okay, what is a movie you would turn into a musical?
I was just thinking this. It's not a movie, but I just finished watching One Day. And I was like, oh my God, that'd be a great musical.
One Day.
Yeah.
That would be a nice musical.
That would be a really good musical. But Steph, please tell Julia how you finished watching One Day.
At the 13th episode, like 2 minutes before the end, I was like, X, and I closed the computer. I was like, what a wonderful life they led with their babies and their living to 100.
Yeah, 14 episodes, just depression.
Actually, I sat on my couch and sobbed for 25 minutes.
That's real. That is something I would do.
But that would be a really, nice, be really musical. Nice musical.
Be a great, like,
a la the
last
notebook.
5 years. Yeah. Notebook.
Yeah. Ooh, last five
yeah, playing
years.
Playing with time. That'd be beautiful.
Great answer. Okay, your favorite spot to sit in the theater?
Orchestra center.
Where should people sit for Six? Is that reason?
Closest to the front as possible, I think.
Yeah.
Because we do so much interacting.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to be like actually a part of the show, come to the front. If not, if you're one of the people that are like, I'm scared, my sister suggests dress circle.
Okay.
We've seen it 10 times.
Yeah. She's going to talk about all spots. What is your favorite show that you've never seen?
Oh my gosh. Great question. Amelie. It's like a dream show and I've never ever seen it. But I love it so much.
So fun.
Great. Your go-to karaoke song.
SZA, Snooze.
Good answer.
Wow. Okay, and finally, what is your guilty pleasure musical?
Shrek. I'm not guilty. That's my real self. I want to be a Gingy Sugar Plum Fairy dream role. That's actually a dream role for me. I just auditioned for Shrek, didn't even get ensemble. So I did crew for it. And I was like, I want to be in Shrek.
Was this at school?
No, this was like community theater. I was like the ripe age of 15. and my sister got Young Fiona and I auditioned for teen and they gave me nothing.
Wait, sorry. You went in for Gingy and you didn't get it?
No, I went in for teen Fiona.
I went in for teen Fiona.
Because my younger sister went in for Young Fiona. So I was like, literally perfect. You're young.
Yeah,
let's get it.
We look alike. It makes sense. Like, let's do it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. They actually told me I didn't look the part. So I was like, okay.
But you cast my sister?
Right. She is fair-skinned. So I was like, okay, so it's literally racism. Cool. Yeah. I'll do, but I did crew, and you know, I loved it. Like, I love my little backstage moment. But like, I, ever since, I have like a, there's a real need in my heart to be in sick in Shrek.
I mean, yes. The music is so good.
It doesn't have to be that good, but it is.
It doesn't have to be that good.
Yes, and like now it's touring everywhere. I'm like,
it's on tour.
Well, maybe when your six contract ends, you're ready to play Gingy Slash Sugar Plum. Okay.
The swamp is calling me.
More too much green again.
Yeah,
green.
I am a green girl. Guys, you know what's so embarrassing? Actually, is like green is actually my favorite color before.
That's not embarrassing. That means that you were primed. You were ready for this.
Yeah, actually, I was manifesting. But I literally own so many green things. So now I'm like walking out. And I'm like, I'm literally cosplaying. Like, why? I just wanted to become.
This is my one question, because when we saw you on Galentine's, you were in a green sweater. I'm like,
know.
I wonder if like the queens, all their wardrobes has kind of become their color, personality. But yours just already was that.
Mine was that, yeah. So was Ellie's. Ellie always wore pink. She was always a pink girl. So she's always in pink. But I don't know about, yeah, I mean, now we all have a collected like things in our color. So sometimes, yeah, we all end up coming to work one day all wearing the colors anyways. I'm like, well, guys.
What we saw here? On opening night, you all, like, your dresses were
to do, like, the dresses that matched the... Yeah, that was fun.
Also, I mean, like, now we're just fanning out on this, but, like, opening night party, that was wild for you guys.
I, like, disassociated most of the night. I really was like, what is going on? I've never, ever experienced something of that caliber and, like, Andrea was there and Toby was there and Mr. David Mervish himself was there. Yes. Like, I was like, what am I doing? And it was very similar to
you.
I know. And then there were different like buffet stations that were like named after, and mine was the sushi station. I'm like, period. It was crazy.
You know,
I had many Jane Seymour sliders. I had multiple.
Yeah, I had the Jane Seymour sliders. I had the, what was the pizza? Was that Cleaves?
I don't know.
I feel like I have a picture.
I just remember.
I just feel like, however you felt about that, as like people that have seen 10 million shows in this city, we've never seen anything like that in our entire lives. Like, it was so exciting.
I was. There were some Harry Potter people there too, and they're like, "Oh, what?
What
we didn't get
like,
this.
I know. Oh, their opening night was a matinee, like in the afternoon. It's game time.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us. We were so thrilled to talk to you.
It's amazing. This has been so amazing. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a great shows this week.
Thank you so much, guys. It was so nice to talk to you.
And now another Julia joining us on the podcast today. We were blessed to speak with Julia P, and now it's Julia M. Thank you for being here, Julia. How are you?
Thank you so much. Around the sixth verse, I'm known as Victor because I lost a bet to Julia P for who gets to keep the name. So in a moment of panic, I chose Victor, and it's unfortunately sort of stuck.
Oh, no. You really needed to think that one through.
Yeah. We didn't do well with that name choice. But anyway, here we are.
Amazing. Well, before we jump into six, we wanted to ask you, what is your first memory of theater?
Oof, my first memory of theater, I always say I'm a bit of a music theater misfit, because whereas a lot of my colleagues grew up in cities and got to kind of like see theater and be around theater people, I grew up in a tiny village of like 200 people in the middle of the woods. Oh. So I really didn't know much about like organized theater in any way. I did a lot of like Celtic music when I was a kid, or like dancing, whatever. But in terms of like organized theater, it was probably like some church basement production somewhere of like, I don't even know what, Annie. But in terms of like seeing real theater, I think I was probably like in high school, and my grandmother brought me up to Toronto and I saw Lion King, and my mind was blown. I was like, what do you mean people are doing this at this level? Like, this is wild. So yeah, that's probably like my first like big theater piece that I saw.
Yeah.
Wow. And then full circle, because that was at Mervish, and then now here, Lion King returning.
this yes, year. I know. It's so nostalgic for people of our generation. I don't know how old you are, but for me, like Lion King was kind of like the beginning mm-hmm. of seeing big theater. So when they announced it, I got a little emotional because I'm excited for a new generation of Torontonians to see this. And it's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And casting yeah. Canadian talent in it will be yes. so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Really exciting. Yeah.
So that brings us, I guess, to let's get to Six. What was your relationship to Six before auditioning? What did you know about the show?
You know, it's funny. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I'm a vocal coach as well. I run my own vocal studio. And so all of a sudden, everybody, all my students started bringing in Heart of Stone. And I was like, what is this amazing tune? This is so cool. Like, what is this from? So that but was also, kind of my introduction.
What a hard song for them to bring in.
You know, it's a choice. It's a choice. But again, that was kind of my first introduction to it was that song. And I fell in love with it instantly. And then really fell in love with Natalie, the OG, and just like her voice. And that was kind of my entrance point to Six. And then they came to Toronto to audition like a couple, like maybe a year before even the Canadian company was announced because they were looking for some swings for New York. And so I auditioned for the team then and went to New York for some work sessions and callbacks for that swing position. So I've been kind of auditioning and been in the world for a while. And then the Toronto company got announced and I was like, okay, I got to get into that home, that hometown company. That would be so amazing. And yeah, luck was on my side.
So I feel like you are such an interesting person to talk to, and we've kind of never spoken to anybody that's been a swing, or in this case, as you guys call yourself, the Standby Slayers. I can't even imagine what that must be like to have multiple roles in your head. So for anybody that's listening that might not know, can you tell us a little bit about the standby process?
Yeah. Maybe first I'll tell you a little bit about the standard standby process sure. because Six is a bit different, but mm-hmm. Normally a standby or often known as an alternate or in varying degrees, like understudy, swing, whatever you want to call us, depends on how many roles you cover and what the nature of those roles are. But standbys generally literally do just that. They stand by backstage for a lead role in the production. And then they go on to do that lead role if the principal is sick or has time off or whatnot. It's a really interesting role because you are responsible for this large lead in this production, but you don't get to do it as often as the principal doing it. So it's a lot of homework. It's a lot of practice. It's trying to get your 10,000 hours on that role behind the scenes so that when you go out there, it looks polished. But for us at Six, it's a bit different because they have this really wonderful policy at Six that it's not just six queens, it's 10 even queens, including the four standbys. And we're treated the same really in rehearsals. You know, we get as many runs in the rehearsal hall as the six queens do. They really sort of treat us with this beautiful equality, which is really, really lovely. We just happen to play three of them instead of one. So it's a ton of work that remains the same. But really, I've been in the show more than I've been out of the show. So it feels mm-hmm. like I just have this beautiful opportunity to get to have like diversity in these roles and play three different queens, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
You cover, just for everyone to know, Catherine Parr, Anne Boleyn, and Jane Seymour.
I actually don't cover Parr. I cover Boleyn, Howard, and
sorry,
Seymour. That's okay. It was listed incorrectly for a while in the queendom. But yeah, Howard, Seymour, and Boleyn. Yeah.
And Parr. And those are three very different queens who are giving very different energy every single night. How do you kind of keep those segregated, keep them separated, or have that different energy brought to the show every night?
Yeah, it's a really good question. They really help you out in rehearsals by getting you to kind of hone in on a queenspiration for each of your roles, which mm-hmm. I have found very, very valuable, especially like, mm-hmm. you know, I've been called on to do a role at like the half hour call. I've like gone into a show halfway through the show. So having that like click in to be like, oh yeah, I'm not me, or I'm not Howard, or I'm not Boleyn, or I'm Seymour, like whatever that key in is. So I really use those queenspirations as a real lock in when I have to kind of do a role short notice. And then I also have some playlists that I play while I'm putting my makeup on that really help sort of center me in like whatever diva I'm kind of living in for that role. So I find that really helpful. And then just honestly practice, like when me and the three other standbys are in the rehearsal hall practicing, we jump back and forth quite quickly. And so getting, again, those 10,000 hours of being like, okay, now you're Howard, now you're Boleyn, now you're Seymour, that really helps too. So yeah, all the above.
You were talking a bit about the audition process for Swings in New York. Did you go in for Stand By Swing in Toronto, or were you actually going in for a specific role here as well?
So in the first time I auditioned, I think they were specifically looking for this sort of universal swing. That was a new job at the time. But in Toronto, they just bring you in. They're quite unique at Six, the way they work. Oftentimes when you audition for other musicals, they're quite upfront about what you're auditioning for. And so your agent would be like, yeah, they're looking for you for a swing. And then you kind of shift your brain that way. But with Six, really, they keep it super wide open. I mean, you can start to like guess by the amount of queens they're throwing at you. Like by the end of my audition in New York, I was singing, I think, either four or five out of the six queens. Oh my God. My audition was like an hour long. So you can glean from that information that they're looking at you for a standby. But here in Toronto, like I wasn't sure. And I don't think any of us were, even the ones who ended up being in the core six, like they are all, mm-hmm. were also auditioning two or three parts at the same time. So they really like to see just kind of like your breadth of what you can do. And then they kind of hone in from there. So it's a really fun audition process because it sort of feels like weirdly like summer camp, because you're just kind of with all these wonderful women in the industry, and the team is so chill and so cool and so nice. So it really feels like this big giant work session theater camp vibe.
So an impossible question: of these three queens, do you have a favorite one to play?
Oh, that's so hard. It's like choosing your favorite child, or in my case, favorite plant. I've done Seymour a lot. I'm coming up to like my 50th Seymour show, which is just a really high number for a standby. So I feel very at home in Seymour. But I think if I had to choose one, Howard might be my favorite, mainly just because I love how unapologetic she is. And it's fun to sort of play the Queenspiration behind her. She sort of lives in like an Ariana vibe for me. Uh-huh. So yeah, I really love playing her, and her song's a blast. So yeah, but they're all so fun.
And then not just like vocally, but do you have a favorite costume of the three?
Yes, I love that Howard pony. I mean, it does something to you. Like every Howard says the same thing. I was like one woman, and then I put that ponytail on and I became a different woman. It's just so good. It's like, you know, 20 inches of like beautiful pink human hair. It's incredible. So I got to say Howard, although like I feel the most at home when I put the Seymour corset on, just because like it was my first track I learned. It's the one I auditioned for the most, and I've done her the most. So that one feels like pajamas at this point. But yeah, the Howard one, it's extra special.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can I ask, like, in terms of characterization, did they really give you the freedom for each of your queens to decide how you wanted to play them? Or as a standby, did they want you to maybe more lean it towards what the principal is doing? And is that, or and which one is, let's say, more typical, or is it different than what they usually ask
for? It varies every single show and every single creative team. Like I often find my career's been all over the place. I've done leads, and then I've done coverage, and I've been kind of all over the map, which is a huge blessing because you learn so much. But any of the other times that I've kind of done swinging or understudying work, it is very much that there's a mold of what's been done, and they sort of want you to kind of neatly pour your individuality into that mold, right? So the it's combined. But with Six, it's completely the opposite. You know, there are of course the confines of like the music and the lyrics and the dialogue, but other than that, they really discourage you from sort of conforming into what other people have done. They want you to find your own person. They want you to find your own vocal choices. In fact, like if you get too close to the other queen's vocal choices, our wonderful supervisor Roberta will kind of steer you towards more individuality. So it really is quite rare. Everything about the way Six is produced is rare. And so yeah, it's been a blast because that also lends to the sort of 10 equal queens vibe, because I'm not having to like go out when I do Boleyn and like emulate or copy what Julia P is doing. I get to just really be my own Boleyn, which lets you feel like you have real agency and real ownership over the role. So yeah, it's amazing.
I think that also caters to the fact that the fan base gets so excited to see standbys go on, and they don't want to see the standby doing exactly what the principal is doing. They want to see a different take. And that's also fosters repeat viewings and repeat returns to the show, because we're getting to see different interpretations of the role every single time.
Yeah, we have people, it's called Swingo, which is so fun. They have Swingo cards, which is amazing. We've had people come from like other countries to try and collect all of our standby roles. So it really is a very cool thing where the queendom rallies around standbys, and it's like a Pokemon situation where they kind of want to catch them all, which is super cool. And I've never experienced that kind of just like joy around standby work. It's really, really cool and really unique to Six, which is awesome.
I mean, hit our bingo card with you a couple weeks ago.
nice.
You and Jane Seymour. But it is true. Like we had talked about, this is on February 13th was our fifth time seeing Six. And we had said in advance of seeing it, like, we kind of hope that all swings or like many swings are on, because like it's so nice to see a different interpretation, and it really is something that like everybody makes their own. I do kind of want to go back to what you were saying of like the timing or the notice of going on stage. So like obviously today you're on, but let's say it's a different day when you're not on stage. Like what is your typical show day routine just in case you might have to go on stage?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it can be very difficult to figure out work-life balance as a swing, especially as a standby, because it's not just going on for an ensemble role that might, you know, have a lot of time off stage. Like going in for a principal in Six is going in for 90 minutes nonstop, no breaks, no checking your notes. So it is difficult to carve out a work-life balance, especially for your nervous system. I'm strapped to my cell phone at all times because, you know, your stage manager can call you at any time. Lisa, our stage manager, has like a special ring on my phone so that like if it's the song, I know it's Lisa and I know I'm on. Because you really have to find that balance between what do I have to do today in case I have to do it last minute, while also not putting your nervous system into this constant state of like fear and adrenaline, because that's not healthy either, because there could be a whole 2 weeks where you go without being on, not these days at Six, we're on a lot, but there could be, you know. I think when I swung Kinky Boots here at the Alex, there was like 2 months one time where I didn't do any stage time. So it can be really tricky. So you don't want to be waking up every day and warming up as if you're in the show, because it's really tough on your nervous system. But you also want to be warming up enough that if you had to do it, you aren't going to hurt yourself.
Right.
So generally I just try to treat it like a human doing good things for their body is what I try to do when I'm not on. So I wake up, I immediately drink like a whole one of these 32 ounces of water just so you're hydrated. I do a workout so that my body at least has gone through some physical, you know, work in the morning. And then I meditate always, because if you're doing Six, you really have to get those nerves sort of like under the belt. And yeah, and then I just go about my day as if I'm not doing the show. I run a not-for-profit, so I'm always like doing some office work in the morning. And then I come to the show, and either we're rehearsing, which is another way to keep yourself kind of ready to go at all times, or the standby, sometimes we just kiki and eat chips, and it's like good for the heart and the brain. Yeah.
Also on the same track of that, like when you guys first started this process, like how often would you be sitting in the theater watching the show?
You know, normally I'm a big show watcher as a swinger and understudy, because the show naturally shifts and ebbs and flows. Something that was blocked 4 months ago, you know, roughly it will have the same shape, but I like to say the skeleton may have moved a bit. Like someone might, you know, the traffic might be slightly adjusted as a character has found a new moment or a new bit with someone. However, with Six, it is like an algebra problem. There isn't a lot of push and pull, because it's very much choreographed like a music video, because we're in pop concert land. So the numbers where you stand on the stage, your staging is ironclad. Like you cannot shift it. And our amazing dance captain, Haley, keeps everyone abs. She runs a very tight ship, which is great. She's amazing at her job. So there's not a whole lot of reason to meticulously watch a lot. Mm-hmm. It's more important to kind of rehearse bodily more with six than to watch it, especially because you aren't trying to track the other queen's timing. You aren't trying to track the other queen's choices because you've got your own. Mm-hmm. And I also find like over listening to the show is detrimental as well, because they might be doing different riffs, doing different vocal choices than you and your tracks. And if you hear their vocal choices too many times, your voice might want to go there if you're a good like ear listener, you know? Yeah. So I try to like limit it actually on the show, which is really weird.
So no, sad, and you don't get to see six all the time.
No. Well, I hear it in my sleep. Yeah. I've heard it so many times. But yeah, I try not to watch it too much, yeah, because I don't want to get stuck into like another queen's choices or rhythms or yeah.
Mm-hmm. For us, like this last time we saw it, this was our fifth time seeing six overall. And we saw you as Jane Seymour, and that was both of our fourth Jane Seymours that we've seen. So oh, really,
yeah,
like,
we had
different.
We've gone through two.
Yeah. We were lucky to see like original Broadway cast, and then through being here in Toronto, we've seen three mm-hmm. different Jane Seymours. So it is interesting to see that same character interpreted through different voices and different characterizations yeah. and different takes. I found your Jane Seymour in my like the least innocent, almost like the most savvy Jane Seymour I've seen.
Oh, cool.
To me.
I love that.
I don't know.
That's great. I love that.
So yeah, we always get so excited, you know, when that curtain comes up and there's that like, you know, fog and you're backlit. Can you tell us a little bit about how it feels entering the stage and starting the show right off the top?
Yeah, it's wild. And it depends on what track I'm happen to be in. Like that little wedge formation we call it the rostra, the risers at the back. And when we're all in that little wedge and the curtains open and we come down off the rostra and the fog is blowing and it's so intense and cool. And the crowd like erupts in big cheers. That either has one of two reactions in my soul. If I'm in like say Seymour and I've done it a million times, I'm like, let's go Saturday. Hey, it's gonna be so fun. If I haven't done that track in like many, many moons and I'm really focusing, I'm like, dear God, here we go. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like Jesus, take the wheel. So it really depends. But it either ranges from like absolutely being pumped to really just like a lot of good mental health self-talk, because it is such a trip to swing six. It's the hardest show I've ever swung on for sure, without a doubt. So yeah, it's a lot of self-talk. It's a lot of just like keeping your nerves at bay and last minute chances to like check in on things in your head, like numbers or whatever. It ranges really, but it's always cool. I always go like, you've got to be kidding. I get to be in this show. Like I'm in the Spice Girls. It's crazy. It's so awesome. Yeah.
No, it's true. Like when that curtain falls before you guys like first start Ex-Wives, like even as an audience member, I have chills. It feels like, it's the beginning of a concert, which is such a like smart way to set that up. Speaking of that audience interaction, obviously you're no stranger to performing in shows. What makes this so different from anything else that you've done before?
Well, the fourth wall is down immediately. And for anyone who's listening, the fourth wall just means like whether or not you acknowledge that an audience is there as a character. And when the fourth wall is quote unquote down, it just means that you acknowledge that there is an audience there and you are playing straight to them, which is it's not super rare in theater. Like there are moments in many musicals where you are talking to an audience, but it's really rare that the fourth wall is down the entire show. And not only that, but like, your character's purpose for being there is to interact with that audience. And so that's really rare, like almost singular really to six, like, you know. That starts taking place for an actor like as soon as they start auditioning for six, because, you know, we're taught as actors when you're in the audition room, like don't look at the panel, like it makes them really uncomfortable. Look kind of like above their head and pretend there's an audience there. But for six, like you walk in and the team tells you immediately, we want you to direct this whole dialogue and the song straight to us, like into our eyes, convince us you are that queen, which is really, really jarring and strange. But they want to make sure right from the get that you are the type of person who has that availability to kind of look right at them, because it's crucial in six. If you don't have that connection, that like real intimacy with the audience, like you're not really right for the show because you have to be able to cultivate that. Otherwise the show doesn't make sense. It has to be for these people out there. And so, yeah, it is an absolute trip, but it's so fun because the audience is going to give you something different every night. And so you really have to stay on your toes. You can't, you know, ad lib or improvise or anything, but you can kind of shift and change your relationship to them depending on what they're giving you. And it's a blast. It keeps you really on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of not performance research, but we're talking about Queenspirations, like who are you basing this kind of concert persona on for each of these? Or is there someone who you've seen in concert that you're, you know, taking inspiration from to bring to the stage every night?
Yeah, I sort of, I reverse engineered mine a bit. Like I think a lot of queens start with their Queenspiration and then they develop the person from there. I kind of did it in reverse. So I wanted to make sure that, especially as a swing, you really have to have like real concrete keys in to all these people. So I really wanted to make sure from an acting standpoint that I really knew like inside my body who these three women were, and then layer on the pop star after that. So I would kind of figure out who they were to me, like through my body, through my lens, my experience, and then go, well, who does that kind of remind me of in pop culture? And then I'll join the two. So for Seymour, I really love, love, love this Canadian diva named Begonia. I don't know if you know Begonia's music, but check her out if you don't. She's got this remarkable voice that is so full of emotion. And I always say like her voice sounds like a cry. And to me, that's Seymour. And so I started there and kind of found my sound through listening to Begonia and Natalie, the OG. Like I'm really inspired by her. So finding those pop divas and then kind of reverse engineering that. For my Boleyn, it's the drag queen Bimini Bamboulash from the UK. I just think she's fearless and unapologetic and a little bit nuts, which I love. And so that's my Bobo Queenspiration. And then for Howard, yeah, it's very Ariana or like Blackpink maybe. Sure. Sort of in that world. Yeah. Yeah.
If you could add another queen to your roster, who would it be?
I did a ton of auditioning for Parr. So I think that would be a natural fit for me, especially because I think she's the closest to who I am in real life. I'm very much like I tend to be like the mom of my group of friends or like the caretaker, the helper. So I think I am a Parr in real life. But I would love to take a crack at an Aragon too. I think it'd be really, really fun to do Aragon. Although that costume weighs a ton and that would not be fun, but I love her vocal. Like her song is so sick. No Way is so fun.
I feel like when we first saw this, we saw it, pre-Broadway in Chicago. That was a song that stood out to us immediately. Yeah. No Way was like, what is this banger of a song? But I have to say, like, Jane Seymour is always, like, my fave. I love Heart of Stone. When we first met, Steph and I double tear wipe in Chicago.
Yeah.
For my mom's birthday, we took her as a family. We all went because she was so excited. She wanted to see it so badly. So we all went, like, fifth row. And after I was like, Mom, what did you think? I was like, did you cry? And she's like, no, I didn't cry. And it was just like from Seymour to the end. She was like so emotional seeing the journey of these women, the way that the music being such an accessible style of music that you're familiar with helps you identify with like the journeys of these characters. And that was like so effective to, you know, get you so emotional. Like you're primed to be emotional because you, by hearing that music, you already understand so much about the character just from that. And so, so my mom, who's like 60, she was like crying, hearing like Jane Heart of Stone and even like Catherine Howard's song that I'm forgetting the name of right now, like All You Want to Do, like so emotional and to just impact like people of all ages, just like really, really, like it hits with everyone.
Yeah, the cool thing about getting to do Jane a lot is that, Heart of Stone has this very unique quality as a song, I think because it strikes a really perfect balance of like telling Jane's specific story, but the lyrics are poetic enough that it sort of gives the audience space to hear in it stuff from their life. Like it's got that 50-50 that all great songs do, where it's specific to the song, but it gives the audience time and space to imagine how that affects them. And so the cool thing about doing Jane is that I would say 7 times out of 10, you end up staying at the stage door for like a long time because people want to tell you why Heart of Stone means a lot to them. And I think that's unique to Jane, is that she that song elicits a reaction from people and it encourages them to tell that person why they were crying. It's like, I was at the stage door for like 20 minutes last night, just talking to these women about Heart of Stone, and it's not the first time it's happened. And I think that's really interesting about Heart of Stone, is just makes people want to tell you their story, and it's so cool. And I think in general, that's the power of six. Like, people talk about a lot, like, why is six popular? And people want to say lots of stuff about the pop concert, and it's 90 minutes and it's accessible and it's light and it's fun and whatever. But I actually think there's a bit more of a profound answer, which is that we're in an era now where people are demanding to tell their stories from their own perspective, as opposed to having someone else tell their story. And we're getting to do it through these six women. But really what it is it's watching six women tell female stories in a powerful and direct manner, which I think everyone out there, regardless of gender, race, whatever, is craving right now. They're craving to tell their own narrative in their own way without somebody else's lens. And that's the power of six, really. Like, that's why it's so popular, especially right now.
I feel like I just got a like TED Talk speech from you. That was very, very well said. That was very well
said. I was going to say, to me, six, I think what I like love so much about six is that it's about these women who were alive hundreds of years ago, but we're almost using them as a lens to view what is currently happening to women at the same time. So many times characters will say something and you think that happens literally right now all the time, from you know, the basic answer of Anne of Cleves, you know, he didn't like her profile picture, all the way to Catherine Howard, who you know, being like in this sexual assault, like being taken advantage of sexually. You're like, oh, that is so, like, that's so modern. And to see that that's something that happened hundreds and hundreds, like literally the entire time humans have been around. And so I think to tell that story with these historical women and kind of reflect it back on the world now is what like makes it so special. Another thing that makes it so special.
Yeah. I think it does its job so beautifully. The way they've written the script is so smart, because it's characters who are removed enough that allows people to relax. It's not, you know, we're not telling the story of something that happened last year, you know, like if we started to try and like, you know, tell Britney Spears's story about her abuse and conservatorship, like it is hard because it reflects on us modernly right now. Whereas like these characters, because they are long since dead and, you know, removed from our current culture, it gives people the space to like think about it without feeling attacked, I guess. And I think that's why people of all genders flock to this show, because they can sit back, relax. It's light enough that they don't feel that they need to like feel attacked by it, but they are learning. Like, one of my favorite, I call it quote unquote a joke in the show, because it's super dark, but it gets a laugh every night, is when Catherine Howard says, you know, some men only employ women to get them into their private chambers. It was a different time back then. And everyone's like, ha ha, so funny. But what a dark joke, because the joke is that like, it's absolutely nothing has changed. And so, it's catching more flies with honey, you know, like you make these wonderful light moments that make the audience laugh and come together, and they're learning through that laughter, which is so profound and so exciting as a show. It's really cool.
It's so interesting too, because it's everything that you guys are both saying, but it's also what you said earlier of like, it's 90 minutes. It's very tight. The songs are so good. Like, the show,
that's my selling point to everyone. It's 90 minutes less.
It's a pop concert, 90 minutes, but you're also going to have like all of these emotions, all of these feelings. And I feel like, especially with a show like this, that's a very small cast, it's a tight knit group, all female cast, all female band with the ladies in waiting. Like, what is that sisterhood like on and off stage for you guys?
It's been like nothing short of profound. And I know that sounds incredibly like wholesome, but it's true. Like, there's a magic in the building that I don't think I've felt really on any other production, because everyone in the building, to some extent, like there's a few wonderful, beautiful, kind, gorgeous cis men in the building who we love and we care for, but the majority are women or non-binary folks, and there is just something about coming to work in a building of people who have a shared experience like that that is so remarkable. And I can't even tell you how different the creative process was with having all women at the helm. Like, it was just, it's something so special. And it's not that I haven't worked with like a million astounding men in the creative field who are kind and wonderful and an absolute creative joy. But there is just something so special, you know, and even coming down to just like a lot of the things that happen to us women throughout the course of a month or whatever, not having to explain yourself, not having to like come up with any reason as to, you know, it's really remarkable. And we've all bonded quite a bit as a group of women. And yeah, it's freaking girl power, man. And it's awesome. Yeah.
If you could describe the show in one word, what would it be?
I'm going to say autonomy would be the word I would use. Wow. Both inside the plot and out as an actor. Like, these women get or gain autonomy over their stories, over their narrative. And then as actors, you really have autonomy over how you portray them. And I think that's like the gift that Six gives audiences. It's the gift that it gives the performers. And it's the gift that the creative team gave us when we were kind of creating the show. So yeah, I would say like autonomy or agency maybe is a good one too, but just, it really feels like when you come to work, you are coming to work, not like a version of yourself that people want to be there. It's like you on your 10 day, you on your one day, you're welcome at work, and like it serves the piece. So yeah, I would say that. Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about how like Six obviously is a modern show from an old story. We were talking to Julia earlier about Hamilton and how that kind of like broke the mold as well. Is there something else from a historical time period that you would like to see musicalized in this modern way? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
You know what I would really, I think about the Roman Empire all the time. You know what I would love to see? I think there are so many stories about suffragettes, and it's a really fascinating time period in history. But the one thing that's like always left out of suffragette stories is the fact that it was really led by white feminists, and it set the stage for the feminist movement moving forward to be like incredibly sort of white centric, and it set the stage for white feminism, which is still plaguing us today. I would love to see a suffragette story around that time that centers the people of color, the women of color, specifically like the Black suffragettes that were left out of the storyline. I'd love to see that part of the suffragette story told in a really like interesting way. I think it would be really interesting and healing for our feminist movements even today to kind of have that explored, because we almost always just explore like that first suffragettes movement, which was really exclusive to a lot of women. So I'd like to go back and re-examine that and see like what that story could look like as a musical. I think it'd be really rad.
That's
very
cool.
Interesting.
Before we get to our final rapid fire, we were talking to Julia P about makeup, and I feel like you have such an interesting role here because you have three makeup looks that you cycle through.
Yes.
What is that process like for you? And like, do you get to put a little bit of your own spin on any of these looks?
Yeah. I mean, our wardrobe supervisor, Amanda, keeps us honest. Let's put it that way. We do have, like, we are within some confines. Like, I think some of the makeup girlies get a little wild, and that's super fun to watch. But the vibe is that it should be individual and interesting without being distracting. So, you know, it's kind of fun in that way to kind of play. For me, I love makeup and I find it very soothing. It's like kind of like a, my pre-show meditation. I leave myself a whole hour and a half to get into makeup and wigs just because I like to go slow and play and experiment and blend it out. It gives my nervous system time to like adjust to the big ask that's mm-hmm. about to happen. So yeah, I've done a lot of Pinterest boards and a lot of like Googling. And then I've also stolen a lot from like my Queenspirations. So like going and looking like what's Bimini doing with her eyeshadow these days? Like, let's steal that for Boleyn. No, like
maybe it is a little drag queen sometimes, you know?
Oh, it's a full drag queen. Yeah. Like I'm literally watching Drag Race and I'm like, oh, I see what they did there. Okay.
It's not subtle.
Oh, you know what? Six has never been accused of being subtle. Let's put it that way. So yeah, it's been really fun. Like, and at first, you know, when like the makeup is the last thing from your brain, you're concentrating too hard on like not absolutely dying on stage. At first I just kind of had like one shape that I put different colors on, but as I've gotten more comfortable, I've gotten to really like individualize it out and be like, wait, how would actually would my Boleyn wear her makeup and what right. does that look like compared to like Seymour or whatever. And it's been really fun. And it's another way to ground yourself in that particular woman for that show mm-hmm. by like putting on her makeup and really thinking about like how she'd present herself, which is like mm-hmm. a nice meditation.
I mean, as a viewer, like I always am looking at, because I feel like the makeup is part of the character. So to see what like you guys get to do every day is fun.
It's so fun. I mean, like it is really, really intense. We all have our ways of getting the makeup off at the end of the night because your face is just like on fire.
We talked to Julia P about that too.
Yeah, it's a
housing bomb situation.
Yes. You basically just take oil and smear it and then like, scoop it off your face. But it's been a real joy. I love it. It's like a part of the creative process that I find actually quite vitally important. I mean, the show that I went on halfway through for Seymour, I was down the road in the rehearsal hall running a Howard mm-hmm. run. And then uh-huh. I just got a text from my stage manager that was like, sprint Seymour now, come like run.
Oh my God.
And so I only had maybe like 30 to 40 seconds to get something on my face.
Here's a lash.
Oh, the lash was not happening, honey. It was just like a couple coats of mascara, but
silver.
Yeah. It was like silver sparkles, like a lip. Get pushed on stage. But it was funny, as I was out there, there was so many things I could be worried about, but it just felt like I was naked because I didn't have like Seymour eye on. I was like, oh my God, it's not her without the eye.
Well, I also feel like it probably helps you get into the character as your face becomes more and more done, right? So it's like, oh, the final step, I'm now whoever I'm playing that day.
Well, certainly too, if you're like, I'm a bit of an introvert and I'm quite shy. And I feel like there are a lot of, shockingly, there's like a lot of introverts in theater. We just mask it well. So for me, when I'm just looking at like my bare face in the morning and I'm drinking coffee and looking at my plants, I'm like, how will I ever by 2 o'clock be a pop star? That's just it's not a thing. It's not possible. It's not who I am. But spending that hour like donning that incredible, you know, sort of mask, it makes you go like, armor. Oh, like, no, I am that beach. Like, here we go. You know, it helps you really like become that person. And it gives you like the status to be able to be like, no, I am. I'm going to put on that amazing costume and those heels and I'm going to go out there and kick ass, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, before we wrap this up, we do have a rapid fire for you. So the first question, if you're on a road trip, what cast recording are you listening to?
Ooh, I am not a cast recording girly, but I'm going to say, I'm going to go with, oh, I actually know. It's going to be 9 to 5.
Oh,
yeah. 9 to 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What movie would you turn into a musical?
Oh, I would turn Superstar starring Molly Shannon. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
I would turn to a musical.
It's so funny.
Begging to be a musical. Can you imagine her making out with that tree on stage? It would be so and like the iconic grand dame, you could get to play the grandmother. It would be amazing. I have to do it.
More musical comedies are needed, I think. Like, let's be funnier.
Yeah,
let's keep it light.
Exactly. Yeah. It made me think of like The Wedding Singer, the musical. Yeah. Like it's kind of like same vibes, but
Mira. Yeah, we can get like Cheyenne playing the Will Ferrell part. We can get like Laura Benanti playing Molly Shannon. Come on. Like gotta happen. It'd be so funny.
Another comedic
right. Favorite spot to sit in a theater?
Always front row, first balcony. It's got to be the spot. Wow. Yeah.
Is that where you see six from?
Yeah, I well, normally we watch six from like the very, very top. We call it like the puke dome of the Royal Albert because it's so high and so steep, very that high, top balcony. So we sit up there because we can see the spike marks from up there, so we can watch and be like, no, all those marks, those numbers are getting a little loose. Go tighten that up. Yeah, so it's easy to see stuff from up there. So that's where we watch from.
What is your favorite show that you've never seen?
Oh, okay. Xanadu. I love Xanadu and I've never seen it live, but like I'm dying to do it. It's a dream roll and I need to get it in. I need to.
Get those roller skates ready.
I'm ready. I'm prepped.
I'm going to go to karaoke song.
Something by the Jackson 5. Anything by the Jackson 5.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
And finally, what is your guilty pleasure musical?
Ooh, you know what? I hate saying this is a guilty pleasure because I feel like people need this to be a guilty pleasure, but I don't think it's a guilty pleasure because I think it's a perfect musical. But Wicked, like everyone's like, Wicked, it's not cool to like it anymore. I don't care.
It's cool to like Wicked now, everybody. This movie's coming out. It's cool to like Wicked. I love Wicked.
I love Wicked. I saw when I lived in New York, I was doing Kinky Boots in New York and I didn't have any real friends in New York. Like I just had my cast, but you know, they've all got their families and like they're busy. So I would have all the spare time on my hands and I would like go sit in Wicked and I'd be like sobbing every time I saw it. I think it's so good. It's so good.
I agree. It's not a guilty pleasure musical. It is the musical.
No.
Tara, said, how many times have you seen Wicked, Tara?
8. And I'm hoping to make it 9 this year when it comes back to Toronto very soon.
I'll go
soon.
With you. Let's go.
Yes, let's go. Let's go. Come with us to the Wicked movie also in November.
Oh my God. Right. Yes. Done. Yeah. Done. Yeah.
First day. We're there. First day.
We're ready. Well, thank you so much, Julia, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
We love Six so much, and it's so exciting to actually get to speak to cast members from the show. So we really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a blast. You guys are awesome.
We saw you in Kelly versus Kelly earlier in the year.
Oh yeah.
So we saw that, and then we saw this.
You literally are obsessed with there. You guys did like a parking lot. I don't even remember what song you were singing, but it made its way to TikTok and Steph and I listened to it like every single day.
They were called, those roles were called the Three Graces and they were kind of like the narrators of the show. And what was cool about them was that we got to sing like some of the best Britta Johnson harmonies I think she's ever written, like just astounding, unexpected harmonies. We practiced like just like that in parking garages, like wherever we could get in a practice, we would. Like all the other actors would be taking a break and we'd be like out in the courtyard being like, Cinco Potato, like trying to like get her music down. So it was like one of the greatest joys of my career doing that show, I really think. Like I just think Britta is a genius and the women that I got, you know, got to sing that score with were astounding. So
We've had Britta on here, we've had Kelsey Rosati on here.
Nice.
So lots of fun people.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, we'll let you go because we know you have a show today. So have a great show. Can't wait to see what your makeup looks like today.
I'll post a little
slide. Yes, please, just for us. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.